1 Corinthians chapter 10, but it's on page 1134. 1134 in the Pew Bible. All right, so 1134, chapter 10, first 22 verses. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolatrous, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has seized you except which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way so that you can stand up under it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break in participation in the blood, the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we, who are many, are one body, for we all partake in one loaf. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God, and I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Holly. Well, today we come to a very unique Sunday here at Living Hope. Today is the first time in my almost 3 years as your senior pastor that I have to say goodbye to a staff member, someone who's going to be moving on. And I want to say that it has been a very good 3 years, Simon. And maybe some of you don't remember this, but when Simon came to us 3 years ago, he actually moved into our house, and he was in the throes of a very difficult divorce. And yet, every Sunday, Simon would come here and use the gifts God has given him to bless us, to bring us into God's presence, to help us worship God. Every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, no matter what happened during the week, and a lot of bad things happened because I had firsthand knowledge of that stuff. So Simon, thank you for doing that. I realize if you were up here, you may say that maybe it was your ministry that got you through some of those times. And that's how God works. God blesses us. And then God blesses Simon, even in the midst of going through a difficult situation. Well, today, I'm not standing up here to preach as I almost always would on Sunday morning. I'm not going to preach to you this morning. Instead, I'm going to discuss with you a topic for a few minutes. I think most of you realize that it is the custom in the United States, in fact, many cultures, that special occasions are often centered around food, whether it be Thanksgiving or Christmas or birthdays or anniversaries or 4th of July. Food is usually part of special days. And today here at Living Hope is a special day. Maybe some of you can relate, maybe all of you can relate to a time where you're sitting in your house and either you or your spouse or your mother or your father or a brother or sister is cooking a special meal. And the smell of that meal kind of permeates through the house for several hours before you sit down to eat. And then you can't wait to be told on those special days, it's time to come to the table. Well, this morning, I want us to celebrate communion as a family. In fact, Simon and Melanie and Danny will be serving all of us communion a little while later this morning. And in a very real sense today, Jesus is saying to you, I've set the table. Come to my table. But before we come to the table, I want to remind you of some things that you and I need to bring to the table when we come to the Lord's table. First, before we sit down to a meal, we should have or need to have clean hands. Not many of us will go out and work in the garden or go out and work on the car and come in and sit down and eat. Almost all of us would go and wash our hands before we sat at the table. That's why the Bible tells us to examine our lives before we partake of communion. Because we may see something that needs to be confessed, something that needs to be cleaned up. Now, I don't know about you, and I know today things are very different, it seems like, in parenting than they were 60 years ago for me. By show of hands, I'm just curious. Were any of you ever sent to bed with no supper? Anybody? Okay, a number of you. I don't know if parents do that anymore. I think that's called child abuse these days. But it happened to me. I would do something bad, and occasionally I'd be sent to bed with no supper. Well, I want you to know this. When you come to Jesus with remorse and repentance, you can be assured that several things will happen. One is that you will find forgiveness, that you'll find restoration, and you will also find an invitation to the Lord's table. Secondly, before dining, we usually need to have a good appetite. Let's say I were to invite you to my house for dinner, and you're at your home, and 30 minutes before you leave your house, you decide, you know what? I think I'm going to polish off a bag of chips. And then you say, oh, I need to wash that down with a can of Coke. And then you open a package of Twinkies and you polish them off. Well, the truth is, after you've eaten all that junk food, you'll have very little appetite for the good stuff. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 21, he says this, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Friends, God offers us a substantial meal. Now, of course, the bread and the cup will not fill us physically. However, spiritually, it should satisfy our hunger. But when we stuff ourselves with junk food, and I mean by that sin, we will lose our appetite for the banquet that God has prepared for us. Remember what Jesus tells us. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Third, when we're dining, we should really enjoy the moment. Now, it's my understanding, and I believe this to be absolutely factual, that places like Burger King and McDonald's, do you know that they design their chairs and their tables so you won't get comfortable at them? They do that on purpose. They design their chairs and the table so you won't get comfortable because they want you to eat and leave and make room for the next customer. That's intentional. Now, I've talked to you before about if you go to Europe and you sit at a table, it's yours for as long as you wish. I mean, sit down for lunch and you can linger there the whole afternoon if you want. No one urges you to go. In fact, American tourists often complain that European waiters and waitresses keep a very, very low profile. And the reason is they don't want to appear to be rushing anyone. Well, here in America, sometimes we're in such a hurry, we do not enjoy our food. We simply inhale our food and rush on to something else. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we should come to enjoy the moment, to linger, to reflect, and to remember. So we need clean hands, we need a good appetite, we need time to enjoy the moment. Next, harmony at the meal table is important. I'm sure that perhaps all of you have sat around dinner tables where all of a sudden the conversation gets controversial. And not everyone at the table shares the same viewpoint. And all of a sudden, the enjoyment of a good meal got ruined because people needed to argue. Now, the truth is, I don't expect everyone here in this congregation to agree on every issue. That would be totally crazy on my part. However, we are expected, in fact, I would dare say commanded, to get along. In verse 17, Paul says this, that we are one body and we partake of one loaf. So things like conflict, tension, disharmony, they can all ruin a perfectly good meal. One thing we never bring to the table is divisiveness. So when we come to the Lord's table, we don't need to agree on everything. However, there is one thing all of us need to agree on, and that is our unity in Christ. What unites us is and always will be greater than whatever could divide us. Number five, we need to be grateful for this meal. You've all seen the apron that says, "Kiss the cook." Well, you know what? The truth is, most people who prepare meals appreciate being told that you really enjoyed what they had prepared. When we come to the Lord's table, we need to eat with gratitude. Never take it for granted. We need to appreciate the cost of the meal, because Jesus has prepared this meal for us with the cost of his life. And lastly, we need to come to God's table with loyalty. We need to avoid a sense of competition. If your family owned a restaurant, I'm assuming that you would go to that restaurant frequently, that you would tell others about it, and you would tell others to go to that restaurant, and you wouldn't eat elsewhere very often. Well, Paul talks about how people try to eat at the devil's table and yet also come to his table. Verse 22 says, "We serve a jealous God who will not be replaced with substitutes." God demands our undivided loyalty. The Christians at Corinth that Paul was writing to, at this moment, they were being tempted to revert back to their idol worship that they had had in their former lives. Now, we may not see a lot of overt pagan idol worship today, but idolatry is still extremely prevalent in our society, because trusting anything for what God alone provides is idolatry. So eating at the Lord's table means communion with Christ and identifying with his death. Our partaking of communion indicates that we are undivided in our commitment to Christ, that he is our top priority, that he has preeminence in our lives. So now, I would like us as a church family to start to prepare our hearts for communion. As I've already told you, I thought it would be a great idea, as Simon's last official act as a staff member here, if he and his future bride, Melanie, and her son, Danny, would serve us communion. So I'm going to ask them to come up. The way we're going to take communion is the way we normally take it. Then I'm going to ask you to come down the center aisles, take the elements, go back to the outside, return to your seats, and we'll take all the elements together. So, Melanie and Danny, over here. Simon there. So I'm going to ask you to come down, take the elements, return to your seat, and we'll partake as a church family. So come on down. I'm gonna give one to him. Body and blood of Christ, broken and shed for you.
Who's gonna serve you?
I'll serve myself. It was on that night before Jesus was betrayed. He took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat." And after they completed the meal, he took the cup and he passed it. And he said, "This is my blood that is shed for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink." Father, I am grateful that we can celebrate at your table with this meal and honoring our friend Simon and blessing Melanie and Danny. And I pray, God, that as Pastor Mike has already prayed, as they move on to a new chapter in life, another place of ministry for Simon, that you would use him and his gifts, God, and that he would continue to be a blessing in the kingdom. We certainly are grateful, God, with Jim, who has come to take his place. And we pray, God, that you would bless Jim and Denise and the family, God, and that there would be a blessing here. And that your kingdom will move forward, both at the new place of worship where Simon and Melanie will be, and this place of worship here at Living Hope. So thank you, God, for our season together with Simon. May he be blessed, God, as we continue to celebrate after the service his time of ministry with us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. In the back of the chairs, you'll see a welcome form and a prayer request form if you'd like to fill that out and put it in the office.